Okay.
Great. Thank you, Rick. This is Zach Kobel. I'm the chair of the Commission on Disability Issues. We are having a meeting on June 21st. It's now 3:41 p.m. and I call this meeting to order. Rick, can you go through roll call, please?
Yes. Sydney Eagle. Mia Hansen. Sue Crager.
Here.
Adiba Nelson. Billy Holbrook.
Here.
Ann Furman.
Here.
Zach Kobel.
Here.
Ray Jordan.
Yep.
Lily Bogan.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you, Rick. And I would just remind folks, I'll try to do this as well, to mute yourselves if you are not speaking, and to if you have something you want to discuss, to not put it within the chat, but to actually speak, to make it a part of the official record of our meeting by speaking it out or doing that type of thing. Thank you very much. So we're at the point of our meeting where we make a call to the public or a call to the audience. So if members of the public who are in attendance at our meeting want to voice issues of the disability community or issues that they want us to hear about, now would be your time to be recognized. Okay, not hearing anyone want to speak up from the public, I will move on to our next agenda item, which is a look at our April 2023 CODI minutes and possible approval. I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
This is Commissioner Holbrook. I move we approve the minutes as written.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Crager. I second.
Thank you, Ms. Holbrook and Ms. Kroger. Is there any discussion from any commissioners or any issues that need to be? Okay. Rick, can you take a roll call vote to see if we have approval of the minutes?
Yes. Sue Kroger?
Yes.
Billy Holbrook?
Yes.
Ann Furman?
Yes.
Zach Kobel?
Yes.
Ray Jordan?
Yes.
Lily Bogan?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Great. Thank you, Rick. So the next agenda item is CODI areas of focus. This is my agenda item that I created as chair. We had discussed at the last meeting, hopefully having the mayor staff member rejoin us on a meeting to answer some of the questions that they weren't able to get to. However, I tried to contact them. I did not hear anything back. That could just be due to me needing to repeatedly contact people and me not having myself not having the opportunity to repeatedly follow up. But I thought this might be a good opportunity to take stock of where we are as a commission and what we want to focus on. So to summarize, kind of what we've been doing since I joined the commission is that I think is helpful is that we hear from different departments of the city and you know, on disability issues, on, you know, disabled employees, on how they serve disabled constituents of, or disabled citizens of the city, where they could improve. And we give feedback to them, which I think is very helpful in having us learn how the city works, learn how the civil servants of the city work, and be able to respect and have some knowledge of their job, their jobs, and what their departments do. So that's all, to me, that's all been very helpful. But what we haven't, what I've observed that we haven't really done, that I know has been done, looking at CODI minutes and listening to board commission meetings in the past, is once we hear from different departments, we haven't followed up necessarily in terms of like taking action or providing advice or perspective to mayor and council on how their different departments like treat the disability community, what could be improved on, what issues seem to be coming up. And because we serve the public and serve the mayor at the mayor and council's pleasure, we can do that. We can, you know, there's been times CODI sent letters to mayor and council advising them of, hey, this issue is happening for disability community, this, you know, this is how it could impact us, this is what we're hearing, which is something I think we as a commission have capacity for. So what I would like to kind of talk through is maybe a schedule of like focusing on three or four areas of the city in a year. And if we have approximately 12 board commission meetings, if we're able to make quorum, having one of those board meeting commission meetings being hearing from a city official or member of the public of where that is focusing on an area of disability community within, you know, CODI's interest. Then the next meeting after that, following up on like reviewing what that person said, what documents they provided, what issues they were identifying as a commission, identifying the issues, and then proposing, you know, writing a letter or writing a document that says, this is what we as CODI think is important about what that group is, or group or department is doing. This is what they're missing. This is how things could improve or change, you know, in our best estimation, and sending it to you know, to mayor and council for, you know, for the official record. And then, you know, having a volunteer draft something, and then the board meeting after, or the commission meeting after that. So, you know, two commission meetings after we hear from someone approving that letter or report or what have you, and then sending it on and kind of deciding on where we go next and who we may want to invite. So that's kind of my my broad overview of how we could improve you know, our process. I would entertain like hearing from other commission members about, you know, feedback in terms of the process. And then maybe we can move on to areas of focus, because I have ideas of areas of focus. Yes.
So this is Holbrook, and I think that's a great idea, because it says in our mission statement or whatever it is that we are to advise the mayor. And so I think I like that idea. I wonder how we would pick which department or which person, which representative to, you know, focus on. So mm-hmm. I think that'd be, I like the idea, Zach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Miss Kroger, thank you. Miss Holbrook.
Yeah, I second that. I think, you know, kind of basically what you said, Zach, is that we need to share information, right, with between kind of critical stakeholders and you know, the Tucson government and CODI, and then really get clear about identifying the issues, you know, that are pertinent and important for our commission, but also the disabled community. And then really strategizing some solutions so that we have something to offer when we make, you know, when we then report. I think it's great if we can have some pretty strong recommendations about what we believe needs to happen, and it seems like that's kind of what you said, and I just second that. I guess I would also say that I don't know if it needs to be one department. I mean, we might have some overarching issues, you know, that would pertain, you know, to all departments. Like, for example, one thing I'm concerned about is how disabled employees disclose request accommodations, and then determinations are made, and I'm pretty unclear about how that happens. So it seems like we could pick some big issue, umbrella issues too, that perhaps impact all the departments. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Kroger. Mr. Jordan, did you have comments or? I think you might be on mute.
Here we go. Thank you, Zach. I agree completely with Billy and Sue on this issue, and Zach, you of course, it's a great idea. What I think to get that rolling, we need to identify the departments of the city that we want to talk with, and to find out how regularly we need to talk with those departments, i.e. invite them to a meeting. And we as commissioners probably need more than 1 or 2 days notice of who it is. I mean, not necessarily the actual people, but which department is going to present to our meetings, so that we have the opportunity to do a little homework in advance. Perhaps they provide some their presentation in advance, or an outline of what they want to talk about, so that we've got a little bit of time to develop some intelligent questions to ask of them, or even some recommendations before they even show up. I'm not sure how we put all of our individual recommendations together to present to the departments when they show up at a meeting. That's something possibly for smarter people than me, but I think that's an issue. And there's probably a few departments that we need to talk to more regularly than others. I'm thinking of transportation as being one of them.
So, sorry, Mr. Jordan, did I interrupt you?
No, I'm done now. Thank you.
Okay. I want, before I respond to, you know, Ms. Holbrook, Ms. Kroger, and Mr. Jordan's like ideas, and I appreciate them. Did any other commissioners have any thoughts or concerns on kind of the direction that we're talking about? What I'm here, like, I appreciate the support of, you know, this idea of a new direction and prioritization. You know, I think there's a couple things that Ms. Kroger and Mr. Jordan identify specifically. One with employment of, you know, disabled employees and how the process goes in terms of asking for accommodations or identifying as a disabled person. And, you know, although, you know, that's you know, that is an issue, and we can identify which department or departments might fit best. Maybe that is you know, an issue that we could talk to, you know, someone within the city manager's office, because they would have overarching, potentially overarching responsibility of how the departments are, what they're required to do in terms of process. And then, you know, once we hear from that relevant department, figuring out if there are other departments or other people that we need to ask questions of in within that process, because each department may handle, like, each department may handle a variety, like, they're not single issue departments. They're, you know, they're, we may need to talk to them about different thing, different departments about different things multiple times, or, you know, so with you know, what Mr. Jordan was saying, like, with transportation, like, transportation and mobility might handle both, you know, busing and sun van service, but they may also handle, like public works projects, you know, planning in terms of sidewalks or other, you know, other accessibility features within the city. Did someone drop off? I just want to make sure we have quorum still. Sorry.
I think Billy left visually, but she's still.
Okay. I just I wanted to make sure we still had quorum and could address what we needed to address. So to me, it kind of makes sense to figure out what issues we want to prioritize, and then figure out which departments, you know, department or departments, like, address those issues within the city. And if we prioritize at this meeting or the next meeting in terms of the year, like, thinking a year, or at least through the election, right? Like, so maybe identifying three or four issues that are really important to us, then, you know, we'll have time, because myself or any of you can reach out to the relevant departments and try, and, you know, if they don't respond, be bothered, like, be active citizens and engage them repeatedly until they do respond and do attend our meetings. We'll have time to plan and prepare and review what documents they give us, more than the 2 days that you were referring to, Ray. So that's just kind of my suggestion, because then we can kind of plan and focus on what we want to talk about them with, and better inform them what we want to hear about. Ms. Kroger?
Well, I raised my hand kind of by mistake, but I did wonder, Commissioner Coble, if you had some priorities that you were thinking about when you developed this.
So, yes, thank you for asking. And I have various ideas for priorities, and I'm happy to share those, but I do not want to, I'm just a commissioner. So if you all have different priorities that is on your list than mine, I'm happy to, you know, we can vote or we can prioritize as a commission. My priorities, and maybe not, like, you know, the first thing mentioned is not the most, I have a 1 through 4, but I don't know if I have within that, like, one's not more important than four. The first priority that I was thinking about is, like, kind of cultural aspects of disability and things Cody has been involved in and will be involved in, specifically Disability Pride Day, getting a subcommittee or hearing about that more specifically would be helpful. Additionally, a person that works for Tucson Meet Yourself, Alicia Vasquez, who is their kind of access coordinator at this point, reached out, and they expanded some access options last year. For those who may not be familiar, Tucson Meet Yourself is a long-held cultural festival in October for for the community, and they did some nice access work in terms of ramping and making the paths of travel more accessible. But they want to work on this year having better CART or assisted captioning and possible disabled performers. So Ms. Vasquez reached out and was wondering if she could join a meeting. So that's one aspect that we could combine into like one meeting, and it may not require a letter or anything, but just may require like, Ms. Vasquez also asked if we could table at Tucson Meet Yourself to help recruitment and help inform the public what CODI does, which is something I want to research a little bit more. Other issues that I view as important that would be kind of on my priority list would be SunVan and SunTran, like the public transit system as a whole, but maybe more specifically the idea of on-demand service for SunVan, because I know there's been some efforts within the city to talk about that, and that type of service is available in some municipalities in Maricopa County. Basically public works, sidewalks, paths of travel would be another issue for me, and then housing, and checking in about what the city is doing to both increase accessibility options for accessible housing, and ensuring that exists, but also just affordable housing for people with disabilities. But again, those are just my priorities. You all might have varying other priorities, so I would entertain a discussion about what you all's priorities are. So Ms. Kroger?
So do you want our ideas now, or are we going to really devote some time to this?
I think what would be helpful is if we could brainstorm, like, if you all have ideas now, then we can, list them, and then we can think about them over the course of the next month, and then vote on, three or four priorities next meeting that we would want to focus on, and then really start honing in on things like around August, like, because we work slow, right? We only meet once a month officially. So
I would like to add a couple, if I may, to your list, which is great. I already mentioned one, employment, not only hiring, but also the whole process of reasonable accommodations. I think employment is a big issue. And then my second one is training. And part of both of those for me are to help expand the notion of disability to the Tucson, city of Tucson. I certainly believe our focus on physical access is important, but I also think that we've got other disabled constituents that we need to kind of be paying attention to too. And I think training and employment would help in that regard.
Okay. Thank you. So training and employment. Other commissioners, Mr. Jordan? I think you might be on mute again.
I'm on mute again. Now I'm not. I got to get used to that. I fully support everything that all of the ideas that have been brought forward so far. I think I want to add one, but I'm a little uncertain in this environment about whether Tucson City Council has any responsibility in the area of the accessibility of public buildings that do not belong to the City of Tucson. In other words, a restaurant or other businesses and their restrooms, as an example. A very quick example, Pima Community College, I attempted to contact them regarding the very poor accessibility of a restroom in one of their campuses that I attempted to use that was supposed to have been accessible because it had an accessible sign on the door. No, I failed in that. As far as I know, it's still not accessible as it should be. So my question before I make the suggestion is, does the city have any responsibility in that area?
So, I am not like a legal expert on access and the interplay between like especially public colleges or community colleges in the city. But in terms of private entities, the city does have a planning and development department that is supposed to approve building plans for new buildings. And then a code enforcement department that enforces code, like building code among existing structures. So within the city code, it's my understanding. Yes, Ms. Hill, I'm happy to have you speak on this in just a second. But, the planning commission would apply the building code that includes access features to new construction, and then code enforcement may be able to enforce access code, with other structures. Staffing levels may, hinder the level of enforcement or, just response in terms of existing structures. Ms. Hill, who I believe, works for the City Office of Equal Opportunity Programs, has raised her hand. Would you? We are allowed to have relevant city employees speak on, different issues. So I would recognize her as chair. Maybe she can offer some perspective for you, Mr. Jordan.
Thank you so much. Yes, I did want to just provide a brief information to answer Mr. Jordan's question. And OEOP often receives citizen complaints about accessibility issues of other governmental, educational, private facilities. And we do not have any jurisdiction over those issues. But we do provide referral information, and we refer them to either the Arizona Civil Rights Division or the Department of Justice. We also provide information regarding the Arizona Center for Disability Law. We provide that information to those individuals seeking assistance. So anyway, I just wanted to provide that information. Thank you, Mr. Coble.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. And just to clarify that, when you say the Civil Rights Division, you mean the Civil Rights Division of the Arizona Attorney General, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Sorry, I was on mute.
No problem.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. And Mr. Jordan, I'm happy to reach out to you post our meeting to provide, kind of an overview of how things could work and who you could reach out to further too. Did you have questions or did you have comments about physical access or enforcement is an issue that would be important for you to discuss, if I was understanding kind of where you were at? Okay. Do other commissioners have additional priorities that they would like to identify?
Zach, it's Commissioner Krager. Can I just get a bit of clarification about this issue of, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of compliance, I guess. Part of the thing that, or one thing that I've always been puzzled about is, you know, who kind of signs off on building projects or, you know, major renovations in the city, or even people who are getting building permits, right? And the city, I believe, approves those permits. And I guess I've wondered what role they're playing in kind of enforcing access. And I feel like I'm being kind of muddled, but I hear Rebecca Hill's comment that, you know, we don't have any, like, we can't demand access, or we don't have jurisdiction over that, but it seems like we would have some say over signing off on building permits or renovation permits, and are we meeting our obligations in that area? Anyway, sorry for being so long-winded.
It is my understanding, and this could be somewhat incorrect or incomplete, that the Planning and Development Department does sign off on building permits, and there is access features within the city code, like the city building code, that are pulled from, I'm forgetting the exact entity, but they're like a uniform access code that are not specific to the Americans with Disabilities Act necessarily, but and may have somewhat different features, different requirements, in some cases more access required than the ADA does, but they don't necessarily quite match up. But that, you know, this would be a part of a discussion that we could have with a representative from the Planning and Development Department to understand their process better, and then to provide advisement on, you know, what we think about that process, if things could be better, you know, or better information, you know, that type of thing would be helpful to, you know, provide feedback on, I think.
Yeah, so. Well, I definitely like to add that to the list.
Okay.
Thanks.
No problem. You know, I think I had this discussion scheduled to end about this part of the agenda to end about 4:20. So I would want to, you know, respect if there was any other commissioners that, you know, had opinions on what issues that, you know, they would like to you know, focus on over the next year or so, and then, you know, we can discuss further and make decisions at our July meeting, if possible. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remembered my microphone this time. Good old me. Would it be possible for this list that we've just developed to become a part of the minutes, or even distributed much earlier than that, so that we can all have a look at them and see if we can figure out what might be missing, and perhaps just add a little detail to that ourselves, and perhaps even via email before the next meeting, just sort of semi-finalize that list so that we can discuss it much in more detail next time around.
So I am happy to, I mean, I've been noting things down, and I, you know, I'm happy to listen to the transcription of the meeting again, so I understand the issues. You know, Rick, I'm happy if you're able to provide that within the minutes, but I don't want, again, like I don't want to overburden the detail of the minutes and the city clerk's process. So either way, I'm happy to provide that, you know, provide that information before our next meeting in July. Additionally, if commissioners need time to think about it and process, if you all want to email me or contact me individually, like with you know, CCing Rick or Jaime, I'm happy to take, you know, ideas that you might have and identify them at our next meeting in July, so we can vote on that. Does anyone else have like ideas that they want to shoot out at this time? Otherwise, I'll move on to the next agenda item, because I know we have at least another couple substantive items to go. Oh, okay. Thank you. So the next agenda item is Cody membership recruitment. And like, I think this is like a critical item as well. Right now, you know, Ms. Hansen resigned from Cody. So that's another spot open. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that we have a mayoral spot still open at Cody, and at least one or two city manager spots with Ms. Hansen's resignation. I know there was or there is a person named Emily Sains. Not sure if I'm saying their last name correctly, who had put in their application to be considered for Cody, I believe with the city clerk's office, and I'm not sure if that was forwarded to the city manager or the mayoral staff, who could consider whether she would warrant appointment. You know, I'm yes, Rick.
I can definitely take a look at that to see if something did come in, since you brought it to my attention, and I'll check with the boards and commissions, and I'll report back to you.
Okay. Rick, did you have, like, you raised your hand again, or maybe I
Oh, no. Didn't. Did I turn it off, or is it still up?
Oh, okay. It's up. Or it's off. Okay. Thanks. I just, you know... Additionally, it might be helpful for us to resend a document with the current Cody membership list, who they represent, and their address and phone number to at least me and Vice Chair Engel, so we can contact people. You know, I don't know if they're. If maybe also like a link or someplace that potential Cody applicants can direct their applications to, just once again, so once we're recruiting different people, we can direct them. And then if there's someone we should follow up with, if that person hasn't heard anything, that would be helpful too, because I want us as commissioners to be an active recruitment tool and to not, you know, have people wondering, you know, if their application is being considered or not. So I don't know if Rick, you can address that or
yes.
We can talk about that offline too.
Sure. So. Traditionally, when a person is interested in serving any commission, they'll either one, go to the portal that we have at the City of Tucson's website under Boards and Commissions, and then submit an application of interest to whatever commission they're interested in. If there's a specific one, in this case with Cody as an example, and there's a vacancies with the city manager's office and the mayor, outside of that, that individual, as long as they qualify, they can reach out directly to that ward office or that city manager's office and or the mayor's office to let them know that they're interested and would like to be appointed to a commission, or in this case, Cody's commission. So there's more than one way to, for them to go ahead and show their interest and in wanting to serve.
Okay. Okay, so they can reach out directly to the like that. Okay.
Yeah, but officially we do need whoever has the opening, that office, that entity to submit it to, or to give us showing that appointment.
Okay. And then is there, if people have, if citizens who do apply through the boards and commissions portal haven't heard anything, is there, like, would you or someone else at the city clerk's office be a point of contact, or who should we direct them to follow up?
As your support staff, myself or Jaime, we will go ahead and make sure that that email that did come in, if it did come in through the city clerk portal, did in fact get sent to whoever has that opening that they qualify in for, and I'll make sure to copy you as well so that you're aware of it.
Great. Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome.
I think that addresses my questions. Did anyone else, any of the other commissioners have concerns or ideas about membership recruitment?
Hi, this is Commissioner Furman.
Yes, Ms. Furman.
Hi, I'm trying to get in an area that's not so loud. My thing is, I was just wondering if somebody says, well, what is Cody? What do they do? How can I find out what you guys are all about? Can they just, for anybody that's interested as far as sit in on a meeting and listen to our topics and what we're all about and what we're striving for, you know, so that because when I got into Cody, I never had heard of it. I had no idea what it was about or what you guys, you know, did. Mm-hmm. So is there a way to let people, you know, sit in like in a meeting or part of it or a certain one that we can just, so that, like I say, so give them a little bit of, that they can see what, you know, at what we actually do and what we're striving for, and I think it might, I don't know, I think it would probably help me a little bit in the very beginning, because you're kind of committed to it, someone can tell you about it, mm-hmm. but unless you're really here towards one of our meetings and what, you know, our meetings go, I had no idea what really, you know, what Cody was at all. I don't know if that's a voodoo thing as far as not letting people in on, you know. I mean, I know the public can watch any of the meetings, right? And people mm-hmm. come in on any meetings.
Right. So, we have members of, I believe we probably have members of the public that are not city staff right now listening in. This is a public meeting, and then links to our meetings are posted on our specific like web page prior to each meeting, and you know, members of the public can join that meeting at their pleasure. You know, we can follow up outside of the meeting, and you know, I'm happy to provide you that link to share with folks. I mean, that might be the easiest way for them to you know, get a basic understanding of how Cody functions. Additionally, you know, I know for any Cody member, you're welcome to explain how Cody works for you, but as chair, I'm happy to follow up with potential commissioners or interested people and talk about, you know, why Cody is a public, you know, serves the public, what we're about, and you know, what they could offer, what they could offer to the commission. And I'm also happy to, you know, follow up with commissioners individually on that. I probably won't follow up via email to you at all as a group, because I don't want to create quorum and open meeting issues. Mr. Jordan and then Ms. Kroger, I'm happy to hear your comments or concerns. Mr. Jordan?
Thank you, Zach. I'm looking at the CODI website right now, and I'm not seeing any instructions to a member of the public who may have stumbled across the CODI webpage as to how they, whether or not they can join a meeting and how they would do that. Appears to me I can see when meetings are on, and the fact that there's we're using Teams, but there's no information as to how you would join. There is a link to a data page, however, which tells you what CODI is all about, which is quite nice. It tells you a bunch of stuff, but it doesn't tell you how to make contact except for calling the city clerk. So I think some improvements at a website might be very handy as well, because I don't, as Anne said a moment ago, how would anybody even know that CODI existed? I certainly would not have known, but for the fact that my wife used to be a commissioner a few years ago, I would have not have known of its existence. So there's a couple of points on my part, and I think that's what I need to say. Thanks.
No problem. Ms. Kroger?
Well, I'm probably just going to repeat what Ray just said. Every time I go to the City of Tucson website, I have to try to remember where the boards and commissions are. And they're under the city clerk's office, which, you know, maybe that makes sense. But to me, it's like it's a mayoral commission. So then I think it should be under the mayor's office. Anyway, I don't think it's very intuitive. And, you know, maybe for those of us who are online quite a bit, we can, you know, navigate it and eventually find it. But I don't think it's very friendly in terms of people trying to find out how they can get involved.
So I understand. And maybe that's something we as a commission, not having control over our own webpage is somewhat cumbersome, but maybe as a commission we can work on drafting language, you know, through an email as a commission in our next couple meetings. We can draft language that we can improve to give information to the public via email or, you know, other electronic means that would provide better instructions on how to access our meetings, and more specific, looking at it. Ms. Holbrook?
Oh, yes. I think a great idea would be to have a table at Tucson Meet Yourself, and to have that table at the Disability Pride Day. So, our exposure, and perhaps, you know, this, you know, big sign saying we're recruiting and this is how you do it and this is what we do. I mean, having tables where the public can go past us in their wheelchairs or signing or however. Okay, that was just an idea.
Yeah, I appreciate that idea, and that's something I definitely want to explore. Yeah, so I think these are all great ideas, and we can try to address how with the public how to access our meetings and information about us better. I'm happy to work on that over the next month to as we firm up our agenda for the year. I believe I want to provide, it's now 4:33, I want to provide like a little bit more time for our last substantive agenda item for SunTran training opportunities. Mr. Jordan requested that this be added to our agenda because he's been in contact with SunTran, you know, about possible training of how to, you know, treat and deal with disabled passengers. Mr. Jordan, I'll leave the floor open for you to explain further.
Thank you, Zach. I'll try to not to make this too substantive so that we can get away and do all the other things we need to do. I mentioned very briefly at our last meeting that my wife and I had an incident on a SunTran bus where security people were called and we were ordered to get off the bus. I personally identified that as a training deficit on the driver's side. As it turns out, the investigation that SunTran undertook based on my complaints and based on the video evidence and so forth, kind of reinforced that. So the driver has indeed been retrained in the much better service provision to people with disabilities, in particular the operation of the wheelchair restraints on the buses. Now, that led, so I made a complaint. Unfortunately, I had to follow up the complaint because I'd heard nothing after about a week. It was a very detailed complaint. Thus the value of following up stuff, because if you just let things go, people just kind of forget about it. Anyway, I followed it up. I got a call back from a person within SunTran. I asked a bunch of questions about the outcome of their investigation, and she was very hesitant to provide me with much detail. And I began to explain that I was a commissioner on CODI, and you know, the sort of things I was saying were perhaps indicative that I knew something about public transit and how it's supposed to operate. So she then gave me a whole bunch more detail about the outcome of their investigation, which was fabulous. And it led me to believe that perhaps there was an issue with the training of bus operators. In some parts of the world, they call them bus drivers, but here in Tucson, they call them bus operators. So that led me to a conversation with SunTran's Director of Safety. His name is Will Heath. A long conversation with him about the sorts of things that that they expect of their bus operators and the way that they interact with the public and so forth. He then contacted another member of the SunTran executive, I guess. His name was Dan Snell. I think he's the director of training. I didn't quite pick that one up. But his conversation was very interesting as well. So we discussed, I asked him how regularly bus operators receive training. He told me that there is a training course every 2 weeks with SunTran, but in the conversation it turns out that is for new operators. So I asked him how many people are in those particular training, each training day, if you like, and he said it depends, it could be one person or it could be 15, depending upon how many people have been employed as bus operators during that 2 week period. I wasn't able to ascertain from him how much time of that entire training process is devoted to interaction with people with disabilities, both from a point of view of recognizing whether a person's got a disability, whether or not they actually require assistance, and if they do require assistance, what kind of assistance they would need. But we didn't get into that sort of detail, but I would like to. I'm very much I'm interested in that. So, but he did sit, so, oh, and in that conversation, there was no mention of whether or not bus operators receive periodic retraining or refresher courses or whatever. So I was interested in that, but I didn't get a good answer to that, to my question on that subject. So it's one that I do really want to go back to with him or somebody else at Suntran. He suggested that me or Cody as a group might be interested in getting involved in creating a training video. Apparently Suntran or the city has a decent marketing department which has access to all of the equipment and expertise to make training videos, some of which Suntran already has, and perhaps they need an update. So I have some suggestions that perhaps one or two or three of us may be interested in participating in making a video, a training video for Suntran regarding people with disabilities. That's to get down to the detail of that, because that's where the devil is, what that would look like, how much time would be spent on people with hearing impairment, vision impairments, cognitive impairments, and of course mobility impairments, and how all of that works together, how long that video might go, all of that sort of thing. So something to be, I'm very interested in following along with that and making that a reality. And I am interested in whether any other Cody commissioners are also interested in that. Now, before I hand off with the permission of Chair Coble to ask for some input, I also thank you again to Zach, who connected me with a staffer for Councillor Paul Cunningham from Ward 2. His name is Chris, and we had a very, very interesting Zoom conversation yesterday, which covered all of the points that I just talked about then. So we're going to get together for lunch sometime soon and go into a bunch more detail. Thank you very much, Zach. That was an excellent contact you gave me.
This is Commissioner Coble. I'm happy to provide that that contact to you, Commissioner Jordan. And I do not regularly ride Suntran at this point, but I would be happy to participate with a video. Based on my experience, but maybe this is also and maybe other commissioners could contact you individually if they're interested, might be able to or can contact me directly, and then I can put you in contact. This might also be something that we can reach out to some nonprofits that we or community groups that we know of that might be interested in this as well, that could provide a broader disability perspective in terms of training, like training opportunities for Suntran. I'm thinking about direct advocacy and resource center, the community, the COPD community options. I'm forgetting the exact acronym. There's some blind disability groups that I know some of our commission might be connected with, the University of Arizona's Disability Resource Center or Disability Cultural Center might also be a space, because I imagine that some students use Suntran or Sunvan from there too. So happy to reach out to contacts that I may know as well. So do
Do other commissioners have comments or wish to inform Chris of any, or not Chris, Ray, of interest?
Yes, this is Commissioner Holbrook, and I didn't know, I have been on the bus, and I didn't know that you had to, some people had their own straps that they have for their wheelchairs that the bus driver, so I borrowed straps that, you know, that the people could use for tying down, the driver could use to help tie you down. It's easier for extra ultra lightweight wheelchairs, which mine is, and so it you know, I borrowed from a woman that has a you know, motorized wheelchair, because I didn't know that it's so much easier for them to have that. So that was something that I learned, and sometimes when I get on the bus and I realize that I didn't bring the straps with me or have the little tie down things with me, you know, it makes it harder for the driver. So I mean, that was just one experience I had, and I didn't realize that these things are so handy that people in motorized wheelchairs have those handy when they are, you know, riding on the bus. Yeah. And then I asked when we had that new contraption that is on some of the buses that comes down and holds you in the slot and you don't have to have a tie down, etc. You know, I asked that question about whether they are on buses that I might use, and I've never seen them on buses that go out my route. So it's only a few buses that have those. That was just kind of a trial anyway. That's my input. I'll be happy to do this, but I don't think that I don't have any people. Chris Despero is a great one for, you know, somebody who's blind to help you with that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Holbrook. Any other commissioners?
Commissioner Berman here?
Yes.
I know there's a difference between the Sun Van and the Sun Tran. Like, the Sun Tran is like the regular buses. The Sun Vans, I know, are the ones that you have to, you know, schedule. I started my mom doing the Sun Vans. I took her off of it. I do not recommend. I mean, she was 90 some years old. She got left for 2 hours more than once at appointments, you know, that they were going to pick her up. It was just, it sounded really great. It sounded really wonderful. And I thought it would be a thing that would make her a little bit more independent, because she could call herself and she could make her own appointment. For, you know, when her appointment was, but then all of a sudden I did call and find out where she is, and they still, you know, really hadn't picked her up, and they left her, and it was a couple hours, and this was, you know, about every time, which I can understand for a while that happening, but, you know, I didn't want my 90 some year old mother, you know, sitting somewhere, you know, waiting. So I don't know if there's something, I don't know, something has to be done with that, because I would ride with her, because I thought, you know, going to the doctor with her, which I had to do. She's since passed away last month, but it was something that I was happy that I could do and show her how to be, you know, dependent. And I needed to go with her because I needed to understand her doctor appointments. But it just didn't work for both of us, because, and I didn't like it. I didn't care for it either. Mm-hmm. Because of that fact. So that was my experience with the, you know.
Thank you for sharing that, Commissioner Furman. I'm very sorry for your loss and your mother's passing.
That might be, you know, that experience might be good feedback to provide your city council member in terms of like Sun Van service, you know, because they are like the city council is the, you know, elected body that regulates and oversees Sun Van, you know, just to provide further impetus that, you know, maybe some further reform is warranted, or some additional training at least. I do want to recognize Ms. Bogan, Commissioner Bogan, who had their hand raised, and I just want to be able to have time for like before we have to adjourn. So Ms. Bogan.
Yes, this is Commissioner Bogan. I do agree with Commissioner Furman about Sun Van and Sun Shuttle Dial-A-Ride right as well. Those are two programs that are lacking and have on many occasions left people with disabilities, the elderly stranded at times. So we should definitely have them back on. That is Sun Van, Sun Shuttle Dial-A-Ride, and RTA all together in a meeting. So that's one of my recommendations for a future meeting.
Thank you, Ms. Bogan. That's definitely noted. And I mean, I think many of us have identified public transportation and Sun Van, Sun Shuttle, like the transportation system as a whole, as an issue that is important to us as a commission. Any other comments before we move on to our somewhat last agenda item, Mr. Jordan?
Oh, thank you, Zach. I'm going to close my commentary with this. I intend to follow this up by writing an email to the couple of people that I mentioned before. I am intending to try to get myself invited to an in-person training session, not the full driver training thing, just the part where they address disability issues, just to see what it is that they do, and then discuss and hopefully invite one or more of these people to I'll be in contact with you, Zach, before I jump the gun. I don't want to jump the gun and do something without permission, of course, but perhaps have one or more of these people invited to a future meeting so we can discuss what training is. And I need to be clear that what we're talking about here is Sun Tran, and we can, you know, and I'm happy to jump onto Sun Van and those other things at a later date, but Sun Tran is the focus of my attention right at this very moment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. I believe Ms. Bogan, did you have anything else to add, or was your hand just still up from the previous time that you were speaking? Just don't wanna.
This is Commissioner Bogan. I apologize, it was left up from before.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't neglecting any comments. You know, since we're running short on time, I do want to move on to the next agenda item, the last real agenda item, which is announcements. Does anyone have any announcements of any events or happenings that are relevant to the disability community in the city of Tucson? Okay, hearing no announcements. I believe Rick, do we need a motion to adjourn?
No. Okay. No, you do not. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Rick. Hearing no other comments, or barring no other comments, I will
adjourn this meeting of the commission. Thank you, everyone, for your kindness in making this first chair great. Thanks.
All right.